the Rift, July 5th, 2010. My name is Arithian.
And this is Desicus.
So, Desi, how's your week been?
Very, very hectic.
Why?
I'm moving. Finally. I feel like such a big kid.
Aw, you're getting older.
I know, I'm so old. Anyway, how's your week been?
Hectic. I've been redoing the site. It's always that, isn't it? Been redoing the site, doing interviews.
I think she's just trying to compete over here.
Oh, I don't know. But I also had guests over the weekend because, you know, 4th of July, which, by the way, it is 4th of the July weekend. So if you hear any, like, fireworks going off, we really do apologize, but...
Yeah, we're having a small war over here.
Yeah, it's like fireworks everywhere. So,
illegal
yeah.
Illegal fireworks, I hear them.
No, they're not. They're legal.
I hear some legal ones.
Oh, I thought you said illegal.
Yeah, some of them are illegal.
Ooh.
We are not allowed to have mortar shells in Kansas. Well, at least where we live anyway.
But yeah.
On the Rift.
Well, yeah. So, Rift, as in, you know, the name of the podcast. There yes. have actually been a few little nice pieces of information this week. There's been an E3 video by Simon Finch, an interview with him.
Such nice quality.
It's really well done. Like, yeah. It's really informative, too. It's, you've got to watch it.
Whoever recorded it did a good job. Like, you can actually see the details on the screen.
Yeah. It's great. A lot of people have taken screenshots from it. It's also been grounds for a lot of speculation about things that, of course, weren't mentioned, but we have...
You blurred out little spots on the video. It's like,
they didn't want us to know that yet.
Well, it's more like the characters, I think.
Yeah.
That me and her were watching the video going, oh, I wonder what classes those are. What races?
So, anyway, there's also been an article by Tanuki. An absolutely amazing dev chat in IRC on Friday. It was with the lore people. It was great. It was really good.
And I missed it, sadly. Yeah. I gotta live vicariously through the transcripts.
You had to work, didn't you?
I was moving.
Oh, that's right. So. And we also had screenshots by Jives. She posts screenshots very often. So we've had no short of information this week, even if it's only been little tidbits here and there.
It's like teasers. It's like a cliffhanger in a book.
It is. Yeah.
You're just waiting for more.
We're waiting for the cliffhangers and the teasers to be over so we can get the full book next year.
Yes. This year. I want it this year.
We're not getting it this year.
Man, this feels like a horrible series you're waiting to see.
Yeah.
But you're still looking forward to it.
Yes, I am. something, you know, we're going to have an interview today about the class system. And we're going to talk about a few of the things that from Simon's video right now. And one of them is the character creation.
It's awesome.
It looks really good. I like it.
It's kind of like four easy steps.
Yep.
You choose your faction.
Yep.
Defiant.
Defiant.
You choose your race. And then you get to play with the cosmetics, make your character look however you want it to look.
Pretty.
Ugly as possible for me, apparently.
She does that all the time.
But it wasn't ugly, it was scary. But people call it the ugly face.
Didn't somebody stop you and ask you what happened to your face?
Yeah, the last game I played, I was told, and I quote, "I didn't know you could put a fire out with a screwdriver."
Oh, that is just bad.
But it was funny. And then, finally, you pick your class. And then you enter the world. Wait, I think you name your character somewhere in there, of course.
I'd assume you name your character somewhere in there, but I don't think we actually saw that.
You get the idea, though.
But, yeah, that's a video that we're definitely going to have up on our site. There's a lot of excellent information on the wiki. They've been taking, you know, as a wiki does, the information and trying to make sure that it's as accurate as possible. They don't put up anything that is conjecture, basically, unless they know it. They really try not to put it in there. They've got some nice screenshots and stuff up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
give it a look. Now, this week, as we informed you in the last podcast, we have an interview with Adam Gershowitz, a producer at Trine, all about the class systems. Please note that he has a really hectic schedule and a couple meetings popped up, so I kind of missed out on this one again, but it's really awesome. I gotta listen to it.
Yeah. It's basically, we kind of managed to grab him for like half an hour. That was like it.
Yeah.
So we had to severe time constraints. So
it's really straight to the point, but nice juicy answers.
We hope you like it. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Adam Gershowitz to the Riff podcast today. Adam is a producer and he's going to talk with us today about the class and soul system. Cindy is also here. So hi, Adam and Cindy.
Hello. Nice to be here with you again.
Nice to chat with everybody today.
So Adam, can you tell us a bit about yourself and the gaming, like your part in the gaming industry?
So I've been with Trion just about 6 months now, but I've been working in games for about 8 or 9 years, the past 7 of which have been all MMOs. Previously worked with both at Turbine on Lord of the Rings back when it was called Middle Earth Online, and Mythic Entertainment on Dark Age of Camelot and Warhammer Online as well. Pretty big, avid MMO player, play most of them that are out there. I also tend to play a lot of RTSs and RPGs as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, how did you come to work for Trion? Did you just kind of stumble across it, or?
So Trion's got a really big team with a lot of people from across the industry, so I have a number of friends out here. So when I was looking to make a move out to the West Coast to be closer to my family, I got in contact with a bunch of my friends here at Trion. They've been telling me how great it was for the past year and a half or so. So, you know, I came out, talked with Scott and the team, saw how great the project was, and the next thing you know, I was working here.
Now, you do play MMOs. That's very important to a lot of us. You've obviously played the game that you're designing, but can you tell us from like just a normal layperson's point of view, forgetting that you helped design the game, what is your impression of Rift?
So what's really nice about the game for me is the fact that it's a really polished and fun product right now. As a player that's played through many betas, there's a lot of times where you'll jump into the game for the first time and you won't get sucked in because there's a lot of little issues and tweaks and everything else, and the game's not there. But with Rift, ever since my first day here over 6 months ago, I've been able to jump in and play pretty much seamlessly. And the product feels really polished and fun. And the next thing you know, you've kind of lost an hour or two, which is something I've never really expected to see from a beta product, right? Especially one as early as Rift is. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a good storyline there. The graphics are gorgeous. The gameplay is really smoothly. And, you know, the first time you come across a Rift or you hear something going on over the hill, it gets your skin tingling, and it's a kind of exciting, fun little thing to see what's over the next hill, and it keeps you playing over and over and over again. For example, I think I was up until about 2 o'clock last night playing on our Alpha PTS server right now. So it's definitely a fun game, and it's pretty enjoyable with a lot of options and a lot of things to do.
Oh well, as a gamer, I'm extremely, extremely happy to hear that. Now, I have to ask, do you have a favorite type of Rift?
So for me, it really changes every week or two. When the artists and designers get a new Rift type in, it's usually my new favorite. But of the ones that are in the game right now and that I've played through, personally, I like the Death Rifts. I'm a little bit darker of a person, so the Geiger-ish style of the Death Rift and the music for them is really quite awesome. It's really spooky. The Fire Rifts are also really cool. Not quite as much of a Life Rift guy, but I'm really actually looking forward to the most is the Wind Rifts. If you've seen some of the concept art for the Plane of Air, it's really exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they do that in the game.
Well, so are all of us, trust me. but I want to move on to the Soul System.
Sure.
One of my questions is that so far we technically know of 4 races and 9 classes. Although some leaks or some little people, you know, screenshotting different interviews have allowed speculation on a 5th race and 4 more classes. We've heard of the Pyromancer, the Assassin, the Riftstalker, and the Bard. Can you give us any more concrete information on that?
So I can't give you guys concrete information because while Cindy doesn't mind, the PR guys will kind of, you know, drag me out back and put a bullet in the back of my head. But what I can say is at least 2 or 3 of the classes you just mentioned are actual classes in the game. I'll let you try and figure out which ones they are. And we're really excited about what we're making in the product. So, you know, the developers, myself included, while we're up there on the presentation stage, we like to let little things slip here and there to kind of get a lead on the marketing guys. So pay attention to all the podcasts, pay attention to the videos released, pay attention to whenever we show anything in public. And if you're careful, you'll see what's coming up over the next couple months.
Well, the fans are definitely paying attention. Can you confirm or deny that certain classes will be and races will be like faction specific, so specifically Guardian, specifically Defiant?
So, yeah, races will be faction specific. So there will definitely be a variety of races for the Guardians and for the Defiant, genders as well. In terms of classes, really that's something we're still working on. What I can say is certain classes will only be available to players of a specific faction at game start. We're still working out whether or not we'll allow other players, say the Defiants who start out with the Reaver, for example. We're still trying to decide whether or not that Reaver will become available to Guardian players somewhere down the line. If we did go that direction, it would probably be a much more difficult task for a player to acquire it, because it's something that, you know, is not in tune with your faction and your whole faction views and everything else. But right now, that's really something that the beta test and the alpha test is going to decide for us, because we want to make the most fun and enjoyable system, and generally putting restrictions on it doesn't make it entertaining.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, it was also mentioned before, this is a big question, I think, for a lot of people, about PvP-oriented and PvE-oriented souls. What sort of differences would there be in a PvP-based soul over a PvE-based soul, other than the fact that it would do better in PvP?
So we're not designing the souls specifically for PvE, PvP, or raiding. We are basically looking at the strengths and the weaknesses of what each soul does, and they definitely have a niche that they're good in, right? So a PvE soul, for example, would be a warrior soul that's extremely good at being that meaty meat shield, you know, that everybody needs for raid content and dungeon content and to soak up the hits, whereas traditionally that's not as fun in PvP, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, you know, a lot of more of the offensively based warrior souls, or the warrior souls that have things like knockback or mezzes or some of the minor crowd controls, they'll be a better warrior soul for PvP, because the types of things that a tank does, getting aggro and getting a monster to hit them, or being able to soak up a lot of damage when something is not smart enough to go, you know what, I should ignore this guy, is just not good for PvP. So instead of trying to make one soul that's good for both of those things, we really are specializing, and we really are looking at each individual soul and making them good at one particular thing, so they're exceptional at it. And then really what it is about mixing and matching those exceptional souls in the different roles to make the combination that best fits your playstyle.
Okay, that makes complete and utter sense. Now, we were sort of wondering, with the amalgamation of souls being a key factor in the game, is this going to pose any difficulty with what sort of armor class the end result is going to be able to wear? Like a hunter type in other games can kind of wear mail armor, whereas a scout generally will only wear leather.
So the way we're designing the system, remember that your calling is what determines what type of armor equipment and the souls that you can attune. So what that does is it allows us to balance the game a little bit more evenly. So we are balancing the game around the fact that if a warrior calling is allowed to use plate mail, for example, we're going to assume that almost all of the warriors will be running in plate mail. That being said, there may be warriors that decide to go to chainmail or even leather to get some of the offensive bonuses that they may or may not want because they're not taking hits for whatever reason. But for the most part, callings determine what type of equipment you use, as well as the type of souls. So that's really how we determine what type of equipment we're expecting the players to be in.
Oh, excellent. What sort of inspiration, like in coming up with all of these different souls, these different classes, what sort of inspiration did you use to come up with skills for 32 different classes so they don't feel like they're just reskinned abilities?
So I guess the short version is 10 to 20 years of MMOs and RPGs. Basically, our class designers went back to all of the favorite classes they've ever played and what made them their favorite class and why they were awesome, as well as not just in MMOs, but in RPGs and pen and paper and other games as well. So really what we try to do is we try to come up with an idea that would be fun to play, and then we name it, and then we figure out what it, you know, how it works and what it does and how it fits with the lore and everything else. So, you know, we might have a designer who's all about, you know, the stealthy positional, I set up my target and it goes down fast assassin type, versus another one that is, you know, your ranger or your marksman type, where they, you know, want to shoot from afar and plink away. And so we basically look at those gameplay types, those specific focused roles per se, and we kind of design a class around that.
Oh, that was an excellent answer. Thank you. Now, is there any sort of synergy system where your other soul tree choices are going to affect or benefit or hurt your other trees?
So there isn't a distinct synergy system, right? But there are definite choices within each of the trees and different combinations that are better than others when combining different souls together.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you go ahead and take your Nightblade and mix it up with your Ranger a little bit, Obviously, you don't want to take choices out of the Nightblade tree that are kind of counter to ranged attacks if you really want to go deep in the ranger, right? But you will take things like the Hellfire Blades, the fiery enchantments will help work with your ranged attacks and your missile weapons, as will the number of talents that you have that increase your fire and death damage. Stealth will be useful for a ranger, even though it's going to be a lot harder to launch a ranged attack from stealth. So sorry to all the rangers out there from Camelot. There will not be a 3-second pullback blow off the back of somebody's head from stealth. We've learned our lesson there. But there are definite synergies there, whereas, you know, somebody who went ahead and took a lot of melee crit bonuses and stuff like that out of the Nightblade wouldn't really get as much benefit from in the ranger class.
Okay, are we going to see soul classes among mobs, and are they going to have access to the same abilities a player would that has the same soul class? So if you come across a warlock, are they going to have access to the same warlock skills a player does?
Most definitely, actually. A good portion of our monsters will use the exact same kind of classes as the players and the same souls as players. They won't really be mixing and matching them, per se. They'll be more pure. And we'll also have a variety of monsters that have their own unique playstyle to them. For example, we're not going to make a cat that is a warlock, unfortunately. If we wanted to make a darkness panther or something like that, he would have his own abilities that are like Deathclaw and all of those other things. So he wouldn't be spitting void bolts from his mouth, for example. But yeah, we have a variety of monsters out there, humanoid monsters that use the same classes as the players or the same souls as the players. And we have a variety of monsters that also have their own unique feel as well.
Well, that's great, because I like it when they actually fire my own spells back at me. So to have such a large soul selection, you need the lore to back them up. Do the constraints of lore help with the class design, or does the class design come first and then the lore?
So the class design does come first before the lore, although when we have kind of initial ideas, we do bounce them off the lore guys, especially when we're coming up with the class names. And fairly early on in the process, we write the background of the class. What you see up on the website is an example of how we work through that before we go deep into the class design. When we write up the class, we write up just a general kind of summary of what we expect it to be like, what we think its strengths and weaknesses are, and then we sit down with the lore guys, and they pick a persona, a heroic soul, as you may believe, from the past, and write up a bit of backstory with them. And one of the things that's great about Talar is it's our own world, so we really can put anything we want in it into it, and our lore guys are really creative. So they have a lot of fun bouncing back and forth ideas with our class designers and really kind of building up that background and what it really meant for the classes previously in the past.
Now, are there going to be the type of oh crap buttons for your classes? You know, the amazing ability that has a 30 or 60 minute cooldown, but, you know, you use and you have to strategically use.
So there'll definitely be strategic abilities, but a 30-minute cooldown isn't really a strategic ability. Generally speaking, the longer strategy-type abilities that we have are anything in excess of a minute cooldown or with a more potent requirement, whether it requires a reagent or requires a special mechanic or play style. What we're trying to avoid is the aspect of every 30 minutes I can – you know, cause an apocalypse, but the other 29 minutes of gameplay is, you know, unsatisfying as a result. So we really want every fight to be a little bit more enjoyable. So the amount of time we can say between cycling special or strong abilities is definitely more frequent than 30 minutes.
Oh, I like that. respecting souls, you've mentioned this. It's been mentioned multiple times that we can definitely like swap and change them around. We're never limited. And also that for now, I think it was said that it will be done in towns and cities. Can you give us any idea what sort of cost this is involved? Is it going to be a cooldown time, or is it going to be monetary?
Okay, so actually I can give you a little extra nugget of information here, something a little new that we've alluded to elsewhere. There are two types of specialization or respecing in the game. First of all, you obviously have your calling, right? That can't change. Mm-hmm. You have a number of different souls, and you have three soul slots. So when you want to pull a soul out of one of those soul slots, if you haven't spent points into it, you can do it for free. So, you know, you can go ahead and say, I have my ranger slotted, but I haven't put any soul points into it. It can come out at any time you want, and you can switch it with anything you want whenever you want. And the two or three abilities you get automatically just for slotting that soul, they'll come out and no problem. If you want to refund the points in a particular soul tree, you will have to talk with a trainer, and there will be a small monetary cost. It's not too bad, mainly because we want people to mix and match and trade souls and kind of come up with a combination that works best for them. However, one of the things we did realize is because how complex the system is and how many choices we expect people to have, we did need a way to allow players to have what we call roles or multiple roles. And so what a role is the combination of three souls or two souls or one soul that you've combined for a specific game style. So what we'll allow players to do is much later in the game have, let's say, at least two, maybe more roles that they can pre-make, build up, and then be able to switch in between out in the field. How frequently you can do this right now is something we're still working on because it has to do a lot more with the gameplay and dungeons and raids and PvP. So we've just put that system in and we're really kind of tuning now the values on when we're going to allow people to, you know, access another role as well as switch between them dynamically out in the game field.
That is going to make a lot of people happy to know that that's being tested right now. Now, I think it was yesterday there was a Simon Finch interview video released. Now, I want to check about this Simon Finch video. It had at about 5 minutes and 2 seconds with the soul equipping system. It had like a box pop up that asked you to like accept or decline the choices you'd made. Is that true? Is it really going to be a confirmation box so we don't misspend points?
So right now, as you can see in a number of the videos, there is a confirmation box. As you're editing your soul, we give you the ability to make selections and then undo your selections, and the UI will update. So, you know, if you look at those videos a little closer, what you'll see is like a little glowing ring around each thing you've purchased. So players know what they had previously and what they've purchased, and as they kind of make edits back and forth, the UI updates. In a case where you've made a lot of edits, more than one, you definitely get a confirmation box there because that's a lot of changes. One of the things we're working on is whether or not we want the confirmation box to pop up when you've spent a single point, for example, because one of the frustrations our early alpha testers are giving us right now is I'm spending stuff in my soul tree and I get attacked and I have to hit confirm or deny to get out of it. To which our response is you really shouldn't be doing that out in the middle of a pack of monsters. But, you know, that being said, we have to make sure it feels smooth in all cases.
Excellent. So can you tell us what you've done? Well, not what you've done, but actually what aspects of the MMO genre you might have been trying to avoid in the creation of the Rift class system?
So that's a tough question because basically we're making a game that takes all the things that we think are the best from MMO class systems. So I guess you could say we're trying to avoid the not so fun stuff. But that being said, I'd say the biggest feature or the biggest aspect of an MMO that we're trying to avoid with our class system is the fact that we don't want players to lose hundreds of hours of work when we update the game. The way our class system works right now, there will be patches and there will be adjustments and there'll be nerfs and there'll be buffs. There's no way that you can say you're not going to have a live game and not have a nerf. That's just unrealistic. But that being said, the impact that it has on an individual player and the amount of time they've played should be significantly less, and it should be a lot less frustrating when patch day comes around and your turn under the knife happens to come. And that much more exciting, hopefully, when you know buff day comes around and you get that many more toys to play with. Because not only do you have the toys that were fixed on your particular soul, but you have all the toys that were fixed and improved on every other soul in your calling. So it's not just one little, you know, gift box you get, but seven or eight of them all at one time.
Oh, I like presents.
We all do.
We do, don't we? So can you give us a brief definition or explanation of the soul system to clarify it for those of us who are still a little bit confused?
Okay, so from top to bottom, here's how it works. Number one, you're an ascended Talaren. That means you've overcome death. As such, you have a number of powers, right? Soul attunement is one of those. There's actually a couple other things that we'll talk about down the line as well. So there's a little hint for you. Soul attunement specifically is attuning souls, individual souls, that are based on your calling. So warrior, mage, cleric, and rogue. They can't mix and match souls in between them. So you can't take your Nightblade soul from the rogue calling and mix it with a champion soul from a warrior calling. But you basically, through soul attunement, take those individual souls and mix and match them to form, like I was saying, your role specifically. You can attune up to three souls at a time. You don't have to, but you can. And each soul has its own soul tree that's split up into two pieces. The branches work just like any old other talent tree or buy system, point buy system you've seen in other RPGs. You spend soul points in it to buy different active abilities and passive traits, as we call them. And as you do that, it increases the soul level. As the soul level increases, that's when we unlock abilities from the roots. The root abilities are kind of those core, you know, core gameplay abilities that are associated with each one of the souls. Mm-hmm. So the reason why we do that is so players don't have, you know, they've slotted three souls, they have 55 abilities, they don't know where to start. So really going up in soul level does unlock much, much more than just a couple extra passive talents and one or two abilities here or there. There's, you know, anywhere between 15 and 20 abilities, if not more, in a given soul for a player to play with.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Now we have a few little fun questions.
Sure.
We have to ask, do you believe in the equal rights for gnomes, or do you agree with the rest of the world that they make excellent footballs?
On the record, I'm supposed to be very PR and say no comment. Off the record, gnomes are excellent footballs. Hobbits make better basketballs.
A very important question which people seem to want to know from the devs is, if there were a PvP situation, which other devs would you kill if you saw them sitting in open PvP?
Simon.
Everybody says that.
It's because he's known as Dead Simon.
And of course, I have to ask, because otherwise I wouldn't be a fan. Is there anything that you can tell your poor, hungry, starving little fans about beta?
Other than the fact that it's a whole lot of fun?
That's mean.
Yeah, it is mean, but I'm enjoying it. And I'm pretty sure you guys will too. We're getting really close to the point where we're going to start inviting people to the game. The game is a lot of fun right now. It's really quite polished. If you had a chance to play it, which I hope you guys will soon, you wouldn't believe that we are in an alpha state. You would think we were almost ready for release. And in just a short while, hopefully there'll be more news going out about that. In fact, I think you should ask Cindy about it.
I might have to do that.
She has all the good information. All of
She does. She's awesome. We love her.
Yes.
Like, I don't get asked that about 85 times a day.
She does. I have witnessed some of it. She pops into the IRC occasionally, which is awesome for any fans out there. If you pop into IRC, Cindy pops in quite a lot. And of course, everybody's first is, can I have a beta key? Can I have a beta key? I think I say it differently than everybody else. I think most people say beta, but it's the whole Australian thing.
Well, our lead systems designer is an Australian as well, so he says it exactly the same way.
Good. So, Cindy, can you tell us anything about beta?
All I can tell you is I've been in some meetings the last couple of days where plans are being laid out and details are being worked on, and it shouldn't be too much longer.
That's excellent. Thank you very much. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today, Adam. You have been fantastic, and I am sure that everybody is just going to be really excited about the information that you've given us. Cindy, thank you again.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Ari.
Thank you.
And I had a blast as well. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again.
Thank you so much. You have a great day, and we look forward to more news from you.
So we're excited about the interview and what it means for classes. Not to mention that the beta is now practically looming over us.
I know. It's exciting.
I know. I can't wait. How soon is soon?
I know. I wish soon was now. Like yesterday.
I know. It's like in a car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is it soon yet?
Yeah, is it soon yet? Is it soon yet? So I heard him mention in there Miz. I think he said stun and crowd control abilities.
Crowd control being the key word with her.
Yes, crowd control. Hello, enchanter of old.
She's become obsessed with it. Me, on the other hand, I heard him mention warriors when he was talking about the PvP, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what I'm wanting to do now. I want to try out a melee class and wear metal instead of being a suicidal assassin.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, concentrate on the fact that she wants to wear metal and run into groups of mobs instead of wearing leather and run into groups of mobs.
Sometimes I got away from them.
Yeah, I didn't. Because I healed you.
So, anyways.
I would like to play a healer if they don't have a soul that I can concentrate on the crowd control ability particles of.
Yeah.
And he mentioned crowd control, so I'm so excited.
You can kind of guess what we're doing.
Yep.
So now we'd really like to extend our thanks to Cardis and Shintir.
And my husband. He doesn't like me to mention it, so I'm not mentioning his forum name.
For their help in refining our set of questions for this interview.
Next week's podcast is going to be the first in a set of Pioneers of Rift episodes. Now, I'm hoping it's going to be the first. It could be the only one, but so far we're planning on having more than one. We're lucky enough to have Abby and Jives with us next week, so we can see what it's like for the different community managers and what it is that they do. Hoping to get some feedback from Jives, because she was actually here when the game was known as Heroes of Talara, so she has a big background in this game.
Some long history there. We will also have Siavala with us. She's the organizer of the Rift Wiki site and an awesome newer site she's developed called Rift Nexus, not to mention the vital role she plays in the Friday Dev IRCs.
Yeah, I can't believe how good she is.
Amazing woman.
I saw her at work and I was like, wow. But yeah, so don't forget to look at the IRC chat that's hosted on Talara Central. We'll make sure that we post all of the links on our site to the IRC chat, the Simon Finch video interview, and anything else that has happened this week.
Yeah, we'll keep you in the loop. So it's about that time again. We're going to bring this episode to a close. All those links we mentioned can be found at riftpodcast.com.
Yeah, we also have an email. If you want to email us, you can contact us via the page, or you can contact us at riftpodcast@gmail.com. There's also a link to the blog. We write a little bit, kind of like an article about the actual podcast on the blog.
Kind of like cliff notes.
Yeah, kind of. So that's about it. We hope you enjoyed the interview. We know we had a lot of fun doing it.
Have a very rifty week until the next episode.
Yeah. I'm Erythian.
And this is Desiccus.
And have a great week.